You're listening to the Legion of Reason.
All right, welcome to one and all to the 206th episode of the Legion of Reason Diversion. I am your host, the Irreverend Dr. Randy Tyson, and am joined by the ever feisty Twyla, and hopefully at some point this evening, and the internally misogynized Christine. And we have our take on a number of news stories that we consider within our preview. In this edition for June 18, 2017, we find that over half of Canadians believe that religion is a force for harm, and we wonder what the hell is wrong with the rest. Hey. A new creationist dinosaur museum opened up this weekend in Innisfail, Alberta, where no expense regarding historical accuracy was spared, including a laser tag facility themed with an ancient city being invaded by dinosaurs. Of course, we all know that happened all the time in antiquity. In Ontario, a court rules that students no longer have to provide a reason for opting out of religion classes in the in-Catholic schools, and in the regressive left files, Indigenous peoples of some 189 countries petition a United Nations committee to make cultural appropriation illegal. No dream catcher for you, Whitey. Lastly, we look at lawsuits from both pro and con sides of medical assistance in dying in Canada that can only be traced to crappy federal legislation. Chuck that up to alcohol. Okay. But first, welcome back, Twyla. You've been away for a while, yeah.
Really? It's been that long?
It's been that long, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. You've been a couple episodes, I think.
Really? Ugh, I've been so busy, but I'm finally done.
Yeah, you've sold your house and you've bought the new one.
Yeah.
You're still in Red Deer, right?
Yeah, my daughter.
Yeah. Oh, screw
it. It's only fair she's close to her dad.
Let her move in with her dad. I mean,
I would not do that to her with that woman he's living with. Oh my god.
You have your own life to live, you know.
Yeah, well, she's my baby.
Yeah. That's why I never
couldn't do
had
that
kids.
To her, that woman. Oh my goodness. Evil step parent.
Step parents, that goes back a long ways. I mean, Cinderella and her step parents, right? I mean, they're awful people.
Yeah, she's awful to her. My poor daughter, she comes home crying quite a bit.
Oh, that's just, well, no, I'm not going to go there.
I don't.
Anyway, so what do we got for today? I've talked about a little bit what we're talking about, religion as a force for harm. Have you taken a look at that? Religion is increasingly seen as as we're doing more harm than good. Now, this was an Ipsos poll that was conducted on behalf of Global News. I'm going to bring the Chrome window up. There we go. So religion increasingly seen as doing more harm than good in Canada. And the Ipsos poll, blah, blah, blah. This is Global News. Just over half of Canadian respondents say that belief. Seriously, guys, you couldn't proofread this. I hate it when I have to read something and it can't be done verbatim because somebody didn't proofread this. Okay, just
this
over half.
Global News. It's not one of the yucky ones.
Well, exactly. It's one of the three major news three major television networks in Canada, along with CBC and CTV, and they can't get the English straight. Oh, God damn it! Just over half of Canadian respondents say that belief in...
Yeah.
I hate when I have to think. My God, I hate thinking.
You're reading. You should just be able to read. It should have been proofread.
I should be able to... Yeah, whatever. Okay, they believe religion... Okay, say they believe religion does... Okay, no, that makes sense. Just over half of Canadian respondents say they believe religion does more harm than good in the world. According to a new survey that was, of course, commissioned by Global News from Ipsos I want to say Ipsos Reid, but I think it's just Ipsos. The Ipsos poll conducted for Global News showed that 51% of respondents agreed with the above statement. So slightly more than half of respondents say religion does more harm than good.
I don't think they polled Albertans. I think they mostly got, and they explain here with Quebec and Ontario.
Yeah,
and
a lot of it was, it's so centrist, right? Because everything's Toronto, right? And Montreal. As if,
and we're going to talk about Alberta in a bit.
Yeah. So 51% of respondents in total, and not just Quebec and Ontario, but it's especially true for Quebec, which is interesting because that is the most Catholic of provinces. I find that very interesting.
Still?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, it's Francophone, and so you have a lot of, anything Francophone is Catholic. There's very little Catholic out here, except in hospitals.
What?
Which is weird.
Okay. What? Are you talking about Calgary?
I'm not talking about Red Deer. I'm talking about Calgary. You know, a real
any
major
other
center.
Town.
A like real
said,
place.
We're gonna go over that later.
A real place, not just a dot on the map. Red Deer doesn't exist except on a map.
I'm stuck here.
Fort McLeod. Yeah. That's your fault.
No.
Yes, it is.
Not entirely.
Get over
My
it.
My mom moved me here
Get
in 82.
So what? 82? And you're going to, like 26, 25 years ago? And you're still on that?
Stuck here. I tried to escape.
That's like 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, you can leave.
I've tried so many times.
Not going to go there because that's your personal matter.
Yes, that's in 3 years. Talk to me again.
Oh, yeah, I'll talk to you again in 3 years. Okay. What do you mean 3 years?
My daughter will be done high school.
Okay.
And we can escape.
So?
She said we could. Even if she doesn't come, I will.
Okay. That's fine. Sean Simpson, vice president of Ipsos Affairs, said there's a lot that's happening in the world right now in the name of religion. Of course, ISIL being the primary example that's using religion to justify what they're doing. Of course, it's not just ISIL. We have our own problems with the Catholic Church in Canada. Oddly enough, I had this crazy dream last night about... My wife and I were in the Vatican, and she was taking on the local bishop, the guy that took over from Bishop Henry. I cannot remember his name. He's been awfully quiet, by the way. Very strange. But anyway, that's an aside. But I think we hear about these incidents more often, not just because they may be happening more often, but because of the information age. I'll give him that. I think that the information age has been a huge detriment to religion, but not just because
you get
Islam
to hear
either.
More than just religion's great.
Yeah, exactly. Islamism is one thing, but so is Christianism, I guess what you would call it. I
sometimes call it Christian Sharia.
Christian Sharia, yeah, that's not a bad way to describe it. I mean, if you're going to involve religion and politics, you know, there's politics, which is secular. I mean, if you want to discuss about things, you can't discuss things with me without getting rid of God. Okay. I don't care what God thinks. I don't give a shit.
Well, it shouldn't enter politics because people don't even then realize their own hypocrisy. It's like, well, no, I'm going to make sure women can't get an abortion, but Islamic Sharia is bad too. I mean, they try to point to how horrible Sharia law is, and yet they've imposed some of their own, and they don't even look at it that way.
There is such a thing as Christian, well, I guess Sharia, if you want to call it that. I mean, we see that in anti-abortion legislation, especially in the U.S. In the Canada, it's not really that's been struck down.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also. In Canada, there's definitely, we're going to talk about this in a bit, a Christian opposition to assisted dying in hospitals.
Exactly. And the fact that a doctor can put a sign up in a clinic saying, you cannot get birth control today from me.
And I fault not just religions with that, but the College of Physicians and Surgeons that allow that.
Yeah.
Now, there's been some positive positions on that will come to it when that subject comes up. But aside from that, the results of this poll are very interesting.
I'm wondering who they polled, because it kind of, considering the demographic where I live.
Well, they never called me. Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's a very different situation between Calgary and Edmonton and the rest of Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much, once you get out of the urban centers, you're very much in fundamentalist, religious, Christian particularly, Jesus land. You really are in that.
Well, we might as well seg into that next topic then about Innisfail. And, well, did you even know about Brooks?
Well, not yet. We're not done with this yet. But okay. Brooks is outside of Calgary and Edmonton, yeah.
Brooks, Three Hills, Innisfail. Yeah, I mean, these things keep popping up.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. That's the fundamentalist version of Christianity.
Innisfail's only 10 minutes away from me. I was there today at a rodeo.
You were at a rodeo. What does that have to do with Jesus?
Well, I think they mentioned Jesus a few times.
I'm sure they do. Yeah. Fewer people believe that people who are religious have the higher moral ground. That's great, because I actually, as soon as I hear somebody that expresses being religious, I don't trust them.
Well, they do believe they have a higher moral ground, and they'll act they like do. It, and then they'll justify some actions with it.
Well, yeah, because they're, you know, like, oh, no, I mean, I don't care about man's law. I care about God's law. And I have a problem with that. 24% of respondents said that they believed religious people are better citizens. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. 24, like three quarters of people do not agree with that statement. And that's down 8 points from, or I should say up 8 points in the way I framed it, from 2011. So this idea that being religious makes you a better citizen is disappearing, which is a good thing, because I don't think it's true.
Well, it's absolutely not true. When you see people now trying to justify going, there's a Calgary group that formed. They're calling themselves, sorry, I don't have it up. Basically, they're warriors against Islam, and they're armed. And
yeah, but they're also in Calgary. Yeah, but that's, what do you mean they're armed?
Well, they were quite, they showed up with their...
Seriously? You can't parade around like in the U.S.
Well,
with
you,
a gun.
You don't have, your rifles don't have to be locked. If you have a gun license, you can carry rifles without having them being locked.
Okay.
And did I post that or did I just link it? I'll just bring it up here. Birth of Canada's Armed Anti-Islamic Patriot Group is what they're calling themselves.
So they're basically like Americans, where they carry guns around mosques or whatever.
Let's see here. It just finally pulled up. Yeah, they're shown here.
Now send me a link.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh my goodness. They call themselves the 3%. They're armed. They say they're ready for war on Canadian soil. Experts say they are dangerous. In front of Calgary City Hall, a couple dozen of them stood shoulder to shoulder in an attempt to make an unbreakable human wall. Each of them wore a uniform consisting of a black t-shirt emblazoned with a Roman helmet. A look that wouldn't be out of place with a biker gang, and in a line filled mostly with men and a few women. So who you wouldn't want to go toe-to-toe with in a bar. All of them are white.
So they basically look like Marvin the Martian.
Well, they've got... Oh, my God. The things they're wearing. I'll send you a link here. The pictures, they make me cringe.
Seriously, that's really pathetic.
An 8-month Vice Canada investigation into the inner workings of the group has found it to be a tight-knit, openly anti-Islamic group that is unique in Canada's far-right ecosystem. One that, as one expert puts, seems to be a wholesale lift of an American militia. During Vice Canada's investigation, the group's rhetoric and tactics rapidly escalated from virulently anti-Islam online posturing to in-real-life monitoring of mosques, live fire paramilitary-style training, claiming to buy land, and plans for creating smoke and flash bombs.
Oh, this is like the freaking Michigan militias. I mean, look at these guys. No uniform. They're just all pseudo-military. How do they have these weapons? Are these legal weapons that they have? Or
yeah, in Canada, there's certain types of automatic guns that are legal. You can buy them and they can ship them to you in the mail.
Oh my gosh.
Over time, the group has been able to make that rare jump from angry online Facebook group to real world activity. And for almost a year now, the whatever chapter, 3% chapter in Alberta, which has the most active members in Canada, has been slowly forming itself into a militia-like organization. The chapter in Wild Rose Country boasts about 150-200 active members and over 1,600 members online.
Oh.
It's a rough coalition of ex-military members, preppers, conspiracy theorists, and people who are simply scared of what's happening to the country. They claim to be heavily armed, with many members posting photos of their numerous guns to their pages. Welling said the majority of the group is blue-collar shift workers or 9-to-5ers who have been hit hard by Alberta's economic downturn. Which you can thank the Conservatives for, you morons, but no, they're going to blame, you know, everything else. So.
Wow. There's a,
yeah, I...
You can see the huge outpouring of support here. Not. You're basically bikers.
Yeah, they do look like a big group of bikers.
They do. I mean, you look at this Alberta chapter, Never Standing Alone. Yeah, whatever. You look like a bunch of bikers. You're not very...
military.
Yeah, well, definitely not military. You look like... the Rock Machine pants. Or whatever.
Camel pants and... crazy black
shirts. They look like
shirts.
Criminals.
Yeah.
Good job,
do,
guys. I'm anti-Islamic.
They do look like a terrorist group. They are a right-wing white terrorist group.
Yep. I'm sure they are.
Alberta chapter, Never Standing Alone. That's what
whatever.
They're wearing on the backs.
Never Standing Alone. NSA. Oh, yeesh. That's pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
These aren't just a bunch of yahoos, and I love that the one picture has this flannel. I don't know what it is. It's a bunch of guns, a bunch of rifles with a piece of flannel. I'm just like, doesn't that just say everything?
Yeah,
flannel and rifles.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? What is it about that goes together? It's called rednecks.
Yeah.
These are I'm. Well, there's one sign here that says anti-Islamophobia. I'm anti-Islamophobia too, because I don't think Islamophobia is a real thing. I think it's something that's made up to silence.
It's racism.
Anti-Islam, you know, criticism of Islam, and I think that's not a real thing. Wow.
There's so many pictures of them posing with their guns too.
Of course.
Guns
on
the table.
It's like those people in Evergreen College where they, a bunch of people, idiots with, these social justice idiots with baseball bats posing for selfies. It's pathetic.
My.
It's pathetic.
Wow. Baseball bat.
It was hilarious. Have you seen that?
The selfie
at Evergreen College. You know, we've been talking about this for a few episodes with, who was it that one of the professors there that was speaking out against the anti-white sentiment that's going on there? And it's funny that most of the people that were in that selfie were white. It's amazing the self-loathing that white people can have when you buy into this narrative of, oh, the white people are just terrible and blah, blah, blah. My gosh, it's not about my equality extremes. Anymore. It's about superiority. So some reason extremes. You got quiet. I don't know. Wait, are you close to your mic at all? Oh no, yeah, sorry. Never mind. That's my end. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
There we go. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, this whole... Yeah. It's so, just awful.
Want to bet that 100% of those guys are Christian?
Oh, of course they are.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And very fervently, and not Catholic, by the way.
No.
They would be some kind of Baptist or some born-again kind.
Some Adventist.
Yeah, something born-again. Very evangelical. I think that's the word. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. That's not to say I actually have evidence of that. I'm just... It just fits the kind of narrative that such groups are.
Yeah.
I wish I had...
No, you can profile these guys, I'm sure.
I don't have a problem profiling.
Vice profiled them.
If you profile somebody and they turn out to be correct, you turn out to be correct, it's fine. What happens? The problem is when you profile people and they turn out to be not what you expect, and you don't alter your view. That's when the problems happen. So I don't have a problem with racial profiling. I don't have a problem with any kind of profiling. As long as you're willing to alter your view when new information comes in. I don't have a problem with that. Because we all do that. It's called stereotyping.
Yeah, these guys only fit the stereotype with the terminology they use. They're describing refugees and immigrants as a planned tactical citizen evasion instead of understanding that these people are running from hell.
But they make, people like us... who are against Islam, they make us look bad.
Yeah, because we would never say that this is some weird planned tactical invasion of Canada by refugees. We would never do that. We would say we wouldn't invite terrorists in. We don't. We vet them. Yet these guys are going in over the top.
Sure. Okay. Anyway.
So religion, yeah, I'd agree. Religion is starting to become, doing more harm than good. And that's why this poll number surprised me, but then they don't. Because there's evidence Islam is harmful. There's evidence forms of Christianity are harmful.
Sure, absolutely. I don't limit myself to Islam, definitely. I mean, they're, in terms of the demographics... Christianity has a much bigger effect on society than Islam does.
Here, yeah.
And I know Linda Sarsuri would love to make, Sharia law something big, but fuck her. I mean, I've got no patience for that. That's just ridiculous. Where are we going with that? Okay, we've got a ton of stuff here. So the first thing we were doing with was, that religion is a force for harm. And yeah, that what is wrong with the other 49%? A lot of them, of course, speaking about Alberta, a lot of those 49% are part of that religious group. And of course, they don't think they're doing any harm.
No, they're saving the country from the bad guys who are doing a tactical takeover.
Yeah, well, they're anti pro-choice, so they're anti-choice.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I mean, there's lots of things. Very, very fundamentalist Christian. What do you say to those people? It's very difficult. They're born again, and what do you do?
It was very interesting going to summer camp with them, I'll say that much.
Oh, yeah? Do tell.
We spoke in tongues, and we...
Did you speak in tongues?
No. But I went along with it because, everybody else was doing it. So I was like, well, yeah. And then we'd bop each other on the head.
Bop each other on the head?
Or something. And we were told not to be friends with non-religious people. And here I was, a non-religious person sitting amongst them going, Gary, you know, y'all aren't supposed to be friends with me now.
Isn't that exclusionary? I mean,
oh, yeah,
yeah,
but
they're
the bad guys. They're bad influence. They're evil.
Terrible.
They're the cause for all the ills in the world.
What do you mean you? It's they. It's not they. It's we.
Yeah.
You're one of them.
I know.
Sorry.
But it's hard to sit in that group and not out yourself.
I suppose that's true. But you know what? I would have said.
Oh God, I was.
You're a bunch of idiots.
9 years old. I mean, you're going to sit there and feel insulted, but you're not going to say shit.
Yeah, I know Rhonda, my wife, when she was in Ghana, was, you know, she was honest about it. And you said that you would have kept her mouth shut. And she was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And she didn't want to be dishonest. She just wanted to be very honest about it.
Well, when you're beat up by your classmates your whole entire life, you don't sit amongst a bunch of people saying that you're evil and out yourself as that person. You're used to being beat up and you just don't want to be anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, then there's that leads into the whole dinosaur thing coming up in Innisfil. That just opened up on
nice
Friday. Yeah, very new. It's opened up on Friday on the 16th of June. It's a privately funded, and they were very, and goodly, good, because I would have been very upset if public funds had been allocated to this. Innisfil has its own dinosaur museum.
Get this, Randy. We're in an economic hardship times, yet there's money for this.
Well, it's personal money. This is somebody who obviously has more money.
And forming militias because the economic downturn, but there's money for this.
Well, somebody has money for it.
Yeah, the oil guys.
Yeah, exactly. The oil guys. And somebody had, I love this because every world-class museum, I love it when they say world-class because they have such a inferiority complex when they say this. I mean, Ken Ham says this all of the time about his Kentucky Creationism Museum. Oh, it's world-class, blah, blah, blah. And you always hear this world-class because you never hear of real world-class museums like the Field Museum or the Terrell in here, to put it locally in Drumheller, which truly is a world-class dinosaur museum.
It is.
You never hear them advertising as being world class. They don't have to.
They don't need to.
Yeah, exactly. They don't have to. And creationism museums always have to do this. And just let me bring this up there we go.
Can I read their little brief description of their Bible history museum?
Oh go ahead. Yeah.
Discover the biblical record of history and the archaeology and science that verifies it. Learn about the origins, ancient civilizations, and the history of the Bible itself. The museum features an amazing replica of the famous Great Isaiah scroll, a diorama of Jerusalem, a levitation track.
Yeah, the superconducting levitation. Yeah.
And much more. But of course, you know, they do all this stuff. Like, do they have dinos?
Well, they have some replicas. So, it's funny. It's funny how, you know, I don't remember the Terrell or the Field Museum having mini golf or a driving range or laser tag. Okay, here.
Yes.
Here, laser tag, where you, quote, travel back in time, unquote, to an ancient city being invaded by dinosaurs.
God, I mean, this is
I don't know of any ancient cities. Yeah.
There's a freaking flying dinosaur that glows in the dark.
The city is complete with buildings, bridges, a river, and a tunnel beneath a 7-foot drop waterfall. Feel the roar of realistic animatronic. Wait a minute. Yeah. Dinosaurs. As you come within mere inches of them, the laser tag also features a rare black light art gallery. I like throwback to the 60s here. With original artwork incorporated into the ancient cityscape. An exceptional collection of artifacts. No, go ahead.
How much did this cost?
Well, it doesn't matter. It's private money. I don't care. If somebody wants to put that money up, it's fine.
They can't build a goddamn museum, an actual museum, but they can't build a freaking library in half of these towns.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is that they feel the need to be able to draw people in with laser tag and mini golf and driving ranges.
Laser tag dino freaking town.
Because dinosaurs were constantly invading cities in antiquity. I don't think so.
Ancient?
But we're going. City. We're going to this dinosaur. Place. I've talked to Jim Linville. I mean, he's been going all over North America to various creation museums. And so if he isn't going to interview somebody, I'm going with him to take a look at this place. And it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be hilarious. Well,
don't forget about the Creation Discovery Center in Brooks and the Big Valley Creation Science Museum. And the
Big Valley is kind of out of a guy's garage. This is a little more serious. And,
what about the one in Three Hills?
Three Hills? That's the one I'm talking about.
What?
But it's out of a guy's garage.
Big Valley. There's tons in Alberta. There's Big Valley. There's Three Hills. There's Brooks. And now Innisfail.
Now, Brooks is a little south. I mean, it's a little ways away.
I don't know about that one. I've been that. I don't know where it is in Brooks. It must be another, like, basement or something.
Yeah, Brooks is a strange place. A lot of meatpacking and kind of creepy. Very... people of color kind of a place where they, you know, they've had to accommodate meatpackers with prayer. A lot of Muslims in Brooks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we have another creation museum. Lovely.
Yeah. Another.
It's funny how they have to entice people using
golf
things that are actually
laser
fun.
Tag.
Laser tag, mini golf. Driving range, whatever.
Well, don't forget about the cafe. Freshly baked scones.
Oh, yeah, and the cafe. Yeah, that's right. The scones. What is it about scones? Is that a thing? I mean, they talked about scones in the talking about the cafe, and I'm like, really? Scones?
Yeah, they're dry and tasteless. I don't really
exactly
understand. Maybe they taste like those crackers they eat at.
I don't know. Next time I drive up to Edmonton, I'm going to stop by and take a look at this place and see what's what. But seriously, I'd rather go to Drumheller where they have that new display of that absolutely fabulous. There's a fossil skeleton they just found a little while ago. It's one of the most,
yeah,
one of the best preserved
best
of
preserved.
Its kind, where you actually get to see skin texture.
Yeah.
Of an actual, it's not a dinosaur, but I can't remember what it's called. Oh, life of me, I can't remember. But it's on display at the Drumheller Museum or at the Terrell Museum in Drumheller, or just outside of, which is a great museum, by the way, and truly world class, not this Bible crap, which claims world classness.
Well, they could have updated the rodeo grounds a bit or something, like.
I don't know.
Like something useful. Like the rodeo was fun. Like it's really cute with the kids. And then, yeah, it was quite fun. But it looks a bit run down. They could have done some upgrades. Oh, but no, this matters more.
Yeah, you know, like a real scholarly place. Not like a fake place like this. Go to the scholarly places. I mean, it's something you'll actually learn something.
Mm. I don't know. Instead of Bible said.
Yeah, Bible said, exactly.
Levitation, what?
Well, it's quantum levitation, you know, where you get superconducting. I don't know what the hell that has to do with anything. I mean, it's science.
I'm confused. Maybe, well, you know how Jesus levitates, maybe? I don't know.
That's both walks on water.
Maybe that's how they're explaining it now.
Yeah, so don't go to this place. Let me go for you, okay?
Yeah, I will. Trust me, I will. Everybody else can too.
So in Ontario, there's a ruling. Okay, here I'll put that on the page. There we go. So there's a ruling in Ontario where students can opt out of religious classes at Catholic school. Now, I thought, as Christine did, that any student can opt out of religious classes if you go to a Catholic school.
Which you can, however, this student's
you can
experience,
if you meet the criteria.
This student's experience spoke to how that's not just exactly how you can, but then she...
There's coercion involved that you should take this.
Forced
blah, blah,
meetings.
Blah.
Yeah. So...
So students at an Ontario Catholic school board will soon have more flexibility to opt out of religious courses and programs thanks to a human rights settlement that could have implications across province, but also across the country, actually.
Good.
So there was a HR complaint lodged against Simcoe Muskoka Catholic district school board by a former student at the time in 2016 by Claudia Sergini. And this student wanted to opt out. And originally she was denied.
Oh, she was denied.
Yes, she was. Well, that's what the whole thing was. That's what precipitated this whole thing was that she was denied originally. Now, later on, she was, oh, okay, we'll let you opt out. but that doesn't negate the original human rights violation.
Yeah, and she also alleged that she was not being allowed to take a science class in lieu for credit. She also alleged that she wasn't going to be able to go to the grad.
Right. And that's actually something that happens in Alberta, is that students aren't who don't meet the religious class requirements aren't allowed to graduate, you know, in terms of a ceremony, which is terrible. Terrible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're discriminated against if you don't take these so-called elective religious classes.
Yeah, it's dumb. Yeah.
So now the board has to amend the policy to allow students to stay in or opt out of whichever religious programs or activities they wish. And the board has to develop a standardized exemption form that clearly lays out the process, provide a list of activities students may want to be exempted from, and once the student's eligibility is confirmed, the exemption will be provided by the school without delay, pressure, or other adverse treatment. Students who apply for the exemption will not be asked to provide any reason nor attend a meeting with the school or board officials as a precondition to the application being recognized and accepted. So they also say at the end, the settlement stipulates that parents or guardians must be involved in these exemption requests in most cases before the student turns 18. So once you're 18, you're really off the hook. Hello, Randy? Oh, Chris. Oh.
All right.
I didn't see your be right back.
Yeah. Okay. Back. I just had to leave my keyboard for a second.
Yeah. Well, I just read that last bit about the settlement stipulating that parents and guardians still have to be involved in most cases before they turn 18.
Fine. Fine. That's perfectly fine because they are minors. But hopefully the parents actually listen to their children and, you know. Yeah.
Well, considering half the students aren't even religious in there.
Yeah. It's funny that half of students aren't Catholic in Catholic schools. They may be religious, but maybe they're not Catholic, obviously. So they're just not that way. But we need to get rid of the Catholic school systems because they don't add anything.
Yeah, that's our opinion. But if you come to Red Deer and say that,
there has been a push in Ontario to get rid of Catholic school systems because there's just no... I know there's one professor at the University of Ottawa who is pushing to get rid of Catholic school systems. So we'll see.
Ontario's got the demographic. They can probably get away with it at the moment.
Well, there's probably more of a push there than either Saskatchewan or Alberta where these sectarian school systems are prevalent.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that will lead to getting rid of them. But I think it's just as important as getting rid of sectarian healthcare hospitals. Institutions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really bad. I mean, we're butting up against, conflict between patients and it's not the staff, it's the administrations. Staff are actually in favor. Even in Catholic institutions, healthcare institutions, the staff are in favor of allowing assisted dying, not so much the administrations. And we're going to get to that in a little bit because there's a bunch of stories that have happened recently. There's a bunch of lawsuits that have just started. Unfortunately, they're going to take time, but that's the nature of the beast. What are we up to next?
Particular assisted dying rather than we're leaving the culture appropriation.
Yeah, last. I think that's the next story because it's a bunch of stories. One is, okay, first of all, on the anti-assisted death side, you have Christian doctors, which are challenging the Ontario College of Physicians and Surgeons, a policy that you must make an effective referral when a patient requests medical assistance in dying. Now,
and that is completely reasonable.
Sure. But, okay, the Christian Medical and Dental Society of Canada, Federations of Catholic Physicians Societies, and Canadian Physicians for Life have, along with another five physicians, they're arguing at Ontario Superior Court this week that the Charter of Rights and Freedoms protects them from being required to refer patients if they don't want to help those patients end their lives. So they are fighting against the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario that says doctors must provide an effective referral if they refuse to help a patient end their life due to reasons of conscience or religion. So this one doctor, Mark D'Souza, he visits people in palliative care at their own homes in Scarborough. Fine. He is no longer taking new patients because of this.
It's ridiculous. Edith. This is his own little pout.
Sure. Absolutely. The policy aims to protect all Ontario patients, with a particular emphasis on ensuring that the most vulnerable have equitable access to healthcare and are not exposed to harm when their physicians object to providing an otherwise appropriate and available medical service. The policy advises all physicians, regardless of their backgrounds, beliefs, practice, settings, or areas of specialty, on how to uphold their professional and ethical obligations of non-abandonment and of patient-centered care. That's fine, but Larry Worthen, who's the executive director of the Christian Medical and Dental Society of Canada, I don't know why they have those two together because they're very different. Yes. Says the college has underestimated and misunderstood conscientious objection. I don't agree with that. I think they know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
He says that our members feel that a referral is a recommendation. And this is the key point. He thinks it's a recommendation. It's not.
It's not. They asked for it. You didn't recommend it, doofus.
It's just passing it on to a board which will assess it, will assess the request. It's not a recommendation. It's just passing it on. He says, our members feel that a referral is a recommendation and the act of connecting a patient with someone who will perform an assisted death is essentially morally the same for us as actually doing it. And it's just so wrong. That's not correct. That's not correct at all. The assessment hasn't been made yet. I mean, it does have to go through a process which says this person meets the requirements, the legal requirements that are set out in law. You haven't done that part yet. So, no, there's no recommendation. It's just passing it on.
Yeah. The patient want to do the service you won't do.
Yeah. D'Souza says that his personal beliefs about medical assistance in dying as a Roman Catholic, I mean, this is one of the major ones, have nothing to do with anyone else. You're right. Including your patient, by the way. And that his objection to the policy lies in the possibility that doctors could be disciplined for refusing to participate in those referrals. Yeah, you're right. As a Roman Catholic, your beliefs have nothing to do with anyone else. Get over it.
Yeah, get over what your patient wants.
I don't get it. To me, this is all about blocking people from assisting assisted and dying.
Yeah.
That's it. If you make a referral to a body which decides things, you're not assisting anything. I don't get it. I just don't understand their position. And I don't see any court.
Because I think they're being disingenuous.
Of course they are. It's about blocking people from accessing medical assistance and dying. It's all it is.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's all I see. On the other side of the coin, we have two people from Montreal who have degenerative diseases. And they are challenging the federal law. I assume they're also challenging Bill 51 in Quebec, which is their version of legalizing medical assistance in dying. And one has he has not Parkinson's. Cerebral palsy. One has cerebral palsy and is just progressively getting worse and worse. And the other one has post-polio syndrome. So they had polio. They survived the polio epidemic in 1949, but they suffered something called post-polio syndrome. And so these people
are getting elderly with it. That would be horrible.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it's a terrible situation. But the problem with the current federal law is that death is not foreseeable. They can linger on for years and years. You don't know. And I think that the current law is terrible. It doesn't account for this possibility that and these people who do not want to be institutionalized, that every aspect of their life is controlled by institutional care. Mm. I'm not going to make that decision for them. Why should the federal government? This is awful.
All these people are suffering.
They're suffering, and you know, listen to them. Don't invalidate their experience by saying, "Well, I wouldn't. You know, I don't think you should be allowed this. It's terrible. We can't do that. We have no right to do that. We have no moral position."
Because they're just
not going
to die imminently.
Exactly. Listen to these people. What do they want? I mean, you can have the best palliative care in the world. It doesn't make a damn bit of difference.
No, they don't have a quality of life.
Exactly. And they're telling you that.
And we don't know how much pain they're in, particularly the post-polio. Yeah. I don't know much about cerebral palsy myself, but post-polio. Sure.
It's... And the current law, I've said this before, almost certainly violates the original 2015 Supreme Court ruling. I just don't see it. They're slowly expanding the law, but... It's too slow. These people don't have that time. And the thing is, the federal minister, justice minister, oh, sorry, the health minister, not the justice minister, Jane Philpott, she responded to questions about this court challenge, saying the government has launched studies into the law and they're still waiting the results. So who cares? She says, quote, "We know that there are some issues that people wanted more conversation about. I don't want to speculate on where we will go from here. We have confidence that the law is the right law for Canadians, that it responded to the requests. I disagree because there was a whole slew of recommendations that were ignored. But anyway, to the previous decision of the Supreme Court, and that it is providing an opportunity for Canadians to have access, i.e. to medical assistance in dying." Yeah, it's a terrible law. What does it mean, foreseeable? Death is foreseeable. What does that mean?
Well, it's foreseeable for all of us, actually.
Well, of course, we're all going to die. But I mean, foreseeable means that there's an end point for this person. Yeah. That's that, you know, you can put, you know, 6 months or whatever. It's not just about dying. It's about
quality of
losing
life.
Your ability, losing autonomy, right? You've lost autonomy. And the last thing you can do for yourself is choosing the time to leave these mortal coils behind.
Like I say, dying with dignity for a reason.
Yeah. These people are not able to help themselves. They're institutionalized. They are not able to help themselves. I mean, I think that's the whole point of medical assistance in dying. Yeah. They can't.
And no one is suggesting that everyone with cerebral palsy or post-polio request this. It's
exactly.
Just certain people who want it for their own reasons. And
exactly.
It's just like women who want an abortion. It's not your goddamn business why.
Yeah, it isn't anybody's business why. If you have a just reason to end your life, I don't see why any physician should say no, or the government for that matter.
Yeah. So again, it's just people want something, they can't get it. Some people want to block everyone from getting it.
Yeah. And it's always from a religious perspective.
Yeah.
Always. And that this is where the harm of religion is manifest.
Particularly in Canada right now.
Well, yeah, anywhere actually. I don't think there's anywhere.
Well, Cleveland has assisted secular dying. I'm not sure what limitations they have, though.
Which one? Who?
I think it's Cleveland, and then there's, of course, is it Cleveland? Sweden?
Switzerland has assisted dying. You can go there. And one of the people that we didn't really mention them, but there were two people in Montreal that were challenging the law. Hopefully, they will be successful. One of them was considering going to Switzerland, where they allow people who are from another country to go there and end their lives in a controlled manner.
Yeah.
But then there's Winnipeg and the staff. So there's a definite difference between the staff and administrations of hospitals. I know that in Vancouver, there was a case where somebody died who requested assistance in dying, was very well cared for by the staff. It was the administrations. And of course, it's a Catholic hospital. Huh? They wanted to have this person transferred. Now, there was, now in Winnipeg, St. Boniface Hospital, which you can guess is a Catholic hospital.
By the name.
It's one of the major, exactly, one of the major hospitals in Winnipeg. They had a vote of the board of that hospital, which said that under certain circumstances, they would allow medical assistance in dying. And so what the governing body, which is the Catholic Health Corporation of Manitoba, you can guess what they thought. They thought, okay, we're going to add 10 new members to the board and then have a revote.
Oh.
And of course, those 10 new members, you can guess what their position was.
And of course,
So they've basically bought the board and they've had a revote, and the chairman, one of the people that resigned was the chairman, who said, yeah, I can't vote for this, and I have a problem with CM, and just resigned.
Mm.
And so they, of course, a la peanut butter sandwiches, the decision was reversed, and they will not allow medical assistance in dying at St. Boniface Hospital. And unfortunately, the problem is one of the cases they had was somebody who had to be transferred from St. Boniface, died after being transferred. Yeah, way to go, you assholes.
Yeah.
Basically increased somebody's suffering to the end of their, to the end of their lives.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well, it brings them closer to Jesus.
What I don't understand is why the federal government doesn't step in and say, look, don't increase the suffering of people.
Yeah, well, then you don't get the vote.
What the fuck's wrong? Well, I don't get it. I don't get what's going on with, the Supreme Court said you will allow medical assistance in dying. That's it.
Yeah, that's a Supreme
You don't get
Court
to
but
say
then when
no.
you get to the provinces, and they're trying to keep in...
Yeah. Or even individual hospitals like St. Yeah. Boniface. And by the way, they do receive public money. They are a publicly funded institution, but they are run Catholically.
Yep.
Fuck that.
Enough. We've had enough, people. Keep it in your damn church, just like you should keep it in your pet.
There is no reason to have a Catholic-run hospital. None. There is nothing added. In fact, I would say that there are things that are subtracted from healthcare. So, God damn it. I'm just sick and tired of pussyfooting around Catholic hospitals. Stop it. I mean, do what they did in Saskatchewan with the after this one woman was not allowed tubal ligation, and just say, you're not a Catholic hospital anymore. You're done.
Yeah.
Do it. Get rid of them.
Offer the damn services for the people.
Exactly. This is not about healthcare. This is about ideology.
Yeah.
Well, fuck off. Human rights are human rights. If you do not, I don't want to have somebody be killed in my hospital. Well, you know what? The person who requests being, despite having the best palliative care available, is still saying, I don't want to live anymore. You don't get to say, you don't get to ignore them because of your personal hangups.
Well, self-righteous baloney.
It pisses me off. I don't understand it. It's not about, they're not about compassion. Anytime a Catholic authority says, well, we're all about compassion, I call bullshit. You're about yourselves.
I see Chris.
Oh, do you see Chris?
Yeah. If you pull her in, I'll step out.
No.
I got to go get my son.
You got it? Your son?
Yeah.
What the hell?
It's 9. So if you pull her in and you guys want to chat for a moment while I'm running away, I saw her.
I see her too. Okay. I'll just add her in here.
Yeah, and I'll say hi, and then I'll run away.
All right, one ringy knee.
Yeah, I think she should give her bid on this too, because I understand that perspective of theirs, and they do justify the suffering that way. But the fact that they're pushing it on people that aren't their religion.
A lot of this comes from the whole doctrine of redemptive suffering, and I just I reject that categorically. I think that is a sick doctrine. I don't think it's wrong. I think it's sick.
Yeah. It's inhumane.
Yeah. I've got no patience for it. No, I don't get her. I don't see her.
Oh, shoot. I saw her for a second.
She's not hanging. She's not adding, or she's not answering a call.
Okay. I do have to get my son.
Okay. I don't want to make this a monologue. My God.
No. What's left, though?
Well, the indigenous peoples and
wait,
the whole...
damn. Can we save that for next time? Because...
Not really. Sorry. Oh. Next week, we're going to have somebody who has become an MRA because of the... big falsehoods of feminism on next Saturday, actually. I forgot to tell you guys. So we're going to have somebody I follow on Twitter, highlighting Misandry is the Twitter handle.
Oh.
And we're going to talk about the feminist monolith. Yeah.
Interesting.
It'll be cool. Is she there? I have no idea if she's there. Come on, Chris.
Well, my takeaway from that whole article, that cultural appropriation thing, they talk about trademarks, okay?
Yeah.
They talk about patents.
Yeah, so why didn't they patent it?
Why don't they use the existing laws instead of making up one that I equate to a blasphemy law?
Yeah, and it is. I mean, like, if you're going to trademark something, trademark it. Yeah. Don't
get your little group together like these Navajos and trademark stuff.
Exactly.
Use existing laws.
What is cultural appropriation to begin with? What is the legal definition of cultural appropriation?
There isn't one, so it's going to be all over the place.
Well, exactly. There is no legal. It's like microaggressions. There's no definition that you can use to actually, you know, from a legal perspective, actually apply. And it's just garbage, but I'm going to. Let's get, see.
There, yeah, give it. Some background to this. If they're trying to make it international, that's what floors me.
Well, it's the same thing about blasphemy laws. You know, the whole idea, I mean, we complain about Saudi Arabia becoming, you know, part of the Human Rights Commission at the United Nations. There's a method to that madness. What they're trying to do is make blasphemy anti-blasphemy a right, a human right. It's not, the problem is, of course, it's not compatible with free speech. I mean, you can have free speech or you can have anti-blasphemy laws. You cannot have both.
No, exactly.
Yeah. And cultural appropriation, I don't know what cultural appropriation actually is from a legal perspective. I have no idea. Somebody, you know, like we talked a little bit about this last episode where some place in Portland, it was a Tex-Mex place where they had burritos.
Right.
And they were shut down because people were complaining, oh, the white people are owning this and it's Mexican.
And profiting. Well,
I hate to tell you this, but Tex-Mex ain't Mexican.
But Randy, the one article said that they said they stole the recipes. They're admitting to doing wrong.
Stole the recipes? It's like this whole thing about, you know, we're talking about cultural appropriation of indigenous peoples. It's one thing if I steal someone's TV. I've taken their TV from them. They don't have a TV anymore. You can't steal culture.
And you can't steal a recipe.
Stealing a culture is impossible.
Show us how you make this.
Yeah, you can't steal a recipe. I mean, I can go to any cookbook and get a recipe for burritos. Get over it. You know, a dream catcher? Are you serious? Yeah, you know, you can't legislate. I mean, I know Quebec has tried. You cannot legislate protection of a culture. It's impossible.
No. And cultures change. They evolve.
Exactly why you can't protect it. They evolve. They incorporate things from other cultures.
You're supposed to be able to change.
Yeah.
This pretty whole pathetic. Let's stay in the past. This whole commitment to segregation. When I was a kid, I heard segregation was bad. It allowed for racism. It allowed for otherizing. But
yeah.
Now these
people are
self-segregating.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I am absolutely floored by all of this. But
this is why I say social justice needs to die. It needs to be reborn.
If you're going to take parts of it and patent it, if you're going to form groups, patent it, trademark it, then it's clear.
Sure.
It's in the law. It's written. People can look it up. Yeah, fine.
And if you don't, too bad.
If not, screw off. Do the work. Ben, come to the table.
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop attacking people on the street for having freaking beads in their hair. Stop attacking people for wearing braids. Fucking quit it.
And that's the thing. That's part of the problem is that you have no definition of what cultural appropriation is. And then you have absolute idiots that think that somebody wearing dreadlocks is who's white is appropriating culture. That's just racism because, no, the problem isn't that they're wearing dreadlocks. The problem is that they're white and wearing dreadlocks.
Yeah, you have an issue with this white person yet. There's no, I've been told yet again, there's no such thing as reverse racism. Are you kidding me? Have you used an excuse to hurt somebody because of their color?
I agree. I think there is no such thing as reverse racism because it's just racism.
Yeah, it is just racism.
Yeah, it's racism. Get over it. If you think that white people can't wear dreads? Well, you know what? You're a racist. Get over yourself.
I would never tell an Indian that they can't wear dreadlocks. I would never tell
what Indian would wear dreadlocks.
They can't wear dreadlocks.
I'm totally unprepared.
You're totally unprepared?
Just going over the cultural appropriation. You're just
Welcome, Trish. Excellent. Christine.
I have to go get my son, Chris, so I was going to say hi and goodbye.
Yeah, we're just talking
about like three things at once.
Yeah, we're just talking about the cultural appropriation bullshit that's going on.
Which one?
Oh, the United Nations story.
Oh, yeah.
We're finishing off here.
Okay, why don't you finish off and give me like 3 minutes and then I'll be settling in. Okay, thank you.
Cultural appropriation. This is CBC News. Make it illegal worldwide, indigenous advocates say. Delegates are meeting in Geneva from 189 countries. Can you believe that? Are looking at the issue, and some want the UN to speed it up. And okay, so
they're not moving fast enough to legalize this.
Yeah, no kidding. So this is a committee called the World Intellectual Property Organization, which is a UN agency. And since it began in 2001, the committee has been working on creating and finishing three pieces of international law that would expand intellectual property regulations to protect things like indigenous designs, dances, words, are you kidding me? And traditional medicines. There's no such thing as traditional medicines. Just traditional concoctions.
Well, they can have that. I don't want it.
Well, they're concoctions. They're not traditional medicines.
And how can you call them medicine if you don't know if it works?
Well, exactly my point. You know, so basically, Whitey, no dream catchers for you. So you can't profit from it. You know, it's just a bunch of garbage. The meeting takes place as concern grows worldwide about the rights of cultures to control their own materials. The concern is growing worldwide. Well, I'm not concerned about it. Whatever.
Where are you going to draw the line? What about friggin' sushi? White man can't sell sushi?
No, sorry. You can't eat sushi no more.
Well,
sorry.
Hey, I said make. Eat. Fine. I don't want your damn sushi.
One of the things they were talking about. Okay. Is this, that some, in the U.S. this week, designer Tory Burch, never heard of the person, agreed to change the description of one of her coats for women after Romanians protested that it had been described as African-inspired when it actually appropriated a traditional Romanian garment. Well, okay, so who gives a fuck? Seriously, who cares? It's a design. You haven't trademarked it? Too bad.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Whatever. I mean, speaking to the committee Monday, James Anaya, Dean of Law at the University of Colorado, said the UN's negotiated document should obligate states to create effective criminal and civil enforcement procedures to recognize and prevent the non-consensual taking and illegitimate possession, sale, and export of traditional cultural expressions. What the fuck does that mean? Seriously.
No Ukrainian Easter egg for you.
Oh. Anaya said the document should...
drawing the line.
Exactly. Anaya said the document should also look at products that are falsely advertised as indigenous-made or endorsed by indigenous groups. Fine. Who cares? Mea culpa. You know, like, I just don't care. That would mean products like those in U.S.-based retailer Urban Outfitters... Navajo line, that's what they call it, the Navajo line. Anaya said, including Navajo hipster panties. What the fuck is hipster panties?
Yuck.
A, quote, peace treaty feather necklace, unquote, and a, quote, Navajo print flask, unquote. Jesus Christ. So you can't basically do anything.
No, but in not this if you're case, white. They did have some trademark stuff, so.
You know, if you're trademarked, fine. Great. I love it.
It was a Navajo Nation.
It's called the law.
These people have a Navajo Nation.
Yeah.
So
they do.
And then they had a battle for about the trademark infringement. So in this case, I'm like, fine, whatever. I think it's still kind of silly, but all right.
But you can't do anything. You know, there's very little original today in design. Most of it is borrowed or inspired by something previous. So yeah. Does that mean?
If you get too close to it.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Garbage.
So you better start trademarking your own.
It just amazes me.
It's going to get pretty ridiculous. I think the reason they're complaining about this is taking too long. There's a reason for that.
Well, that's the thing. You have to define it. You have to first define it in a legal manner, not just some nebulous definition that, you know,
you just guesswork. Sue anybody for.
It's garbage. I mean, I know, Christine, you're such a proponent of cultural appropriation. You hate it, don't you?
What, the concept or actually doing it?
Either one. What's the difference?
I learned that I make a really good vegetarian chow mein.
Oh, you cultural appropriator, you.
I do, chow mein. Yeah,
chow,
yeah.
You know, chow mein isn't even, it's freaking Californian.
Probably, but, well, hey, if you can appropriate poutine from Quebec.
Quebec, oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, great. Poutine. I love poutine, by the way. That guy at that conference, whatever it is, I mean, he can go suck it.
Because it's a communications one. Oh crap, I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, we talked about this last time.
Yeah,
Like, you know what? I like poutine. I don't give a shit what you think. I just don't care. I mean, McDonald's is offering poutine in Canada.
Gross.
Yeah, I know. No, their fries are good. There's nothing wrong with McDonald's fries. I like their coffee too, by the way.
Oh, the fries there. I don't know. I don't really try. I haven't tried the coffee. We lost Twyla. My favorite coffee is actually 7-Eleven coffee.
Really?
Yeah.
7-Eleven coffee?
Whatever. Yeah. It's really good. Yeah, I know. And it's cheap. And, you know, when you're traveling across the country or whatever, it's always consistent.
7-Eleven.
Well, cheap is good.
Well, it's just like McDonald's. McDonald's fries are.
Because it's really nice coffee.
Well, what do you think about this cultural appropriation, making it illegal worldwide?
I don't, like you say, where do you draw the boundaries around what constitutes X groups of, you know, designs and culture and that kind of thing. And I understand. I think it's not fair that somebody would put a label on saying this is an authentic, you know, piece when it's actually not. Like, that's
fine.
That's not
that's
cool.
False that's, advertising.
That's
fraud, though.
I think yeah.
But that comes under advertising legislation, right? You can't make false claims.
Fraudulent claims. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know what to think of it.
What about dream catchers?
I guess I just think it's sad.
Do you have a dream catcher?
A rich, lovely culture that, you know, as a Canadian, I've benefited from enjoying throughout my entire life. And
a lot of these things are caricatures of culture, though, too.
Well, caricatures, you know, obviously, you know, that's disrespectful, but you're not entitled to not be respected. But I mean, a lot of the people who pay tribute to, you know, Aboriginal art are genuinely committed in a passionate way to advancing it in a really positive way. And I don't like to see creativity severed like that, right?
But then you have that person in Toronto.
Culture.
But you have that woman in Toronto, that artist, who used a native style of artistic, you know, that kind of native artistic style, a particular style. And then she was castigated. Because she did that. Is that fair?
No, that's kind of exactly the type of case I'm talking about. Like, she was obviously committed and passionate and was doing nothing to disrespect the culture. And, you know, I think trying to share in a positive way. And why would you want to stifle that creativity and that, you know, what do I want to say? Like, people who love to study other cultures, like, that's such a healthy human great thing to do. Like, why would anybody want to curb that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And like you say, sure, sometimes it's mocked and that kind of thing, but you know, this goes back to, you know, like drawing Muhammad, right? Yeah, some people are going to make fun of
stuff.
That's
a good point. That's a good point.
You know, there's assholes, you know? Yeah.
It kind of does make you want to say, oh, screw it. I'm going to go Navajo on anything that I put out because I can't do it. Oh, fuck that. Come sue me, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it makes me sad more than anything.
I don't know. I weep for social justice in general. I definitely weep for it because, well, my brother actually talked to me about last night because, or not on Friday, it was yesterday. That people from the atheist experience are doing things like policing ableist language. And I had to inform him of what ableist language was. For instance, for standing on your own 2 feet is an ableist saying, colloquialism, because they would police that because it was demeaning people in a wheelchair. That's called virtue signaling.
I guess my concept of metaphor might be lost in some people.
I suppose.
Shall we say.
But I think people...
Standing on your own 2 feet doesn't mean literally standing on your own 2 feet. It's a metaphor for... being independent, right?
Yeah, but if you look
standing
at the
etymology... Standing on my own
etymology,
two wheels if you're in a wheelchair,
Standing... how does one do that? I can
standing
do
on
wheelie.
My own two wheels, god damn it, and making, being independent. And,
but you know where it comes from. But I've always said that the etymology of a term doesn't matter because it what matters is its usage. I mean, we don't, it's just Thursday. We don't think of Thor. It's just Thursday.
Yeah.
and he was surprised when I gave him that example as what, an example of ableist terminology, he's like, seriously? And I'm like, yeah, welcome to Bizarro World. These people are looking at the etymology of it. Oh, it just, disrespects or invalidates people that are not able to walk. I mean, is it, fuck off. No, it doesn't. That's what I want to say to people. Fuck off. No, it doesn't. Because the etymology of anything doesn't matter. We're not, because it, I, when I, when I, that's the same thing. When I use the word dick, I call someone a dick. Mm-hmm. I'm not calling them a giant penis.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, do you think I'm calling them a giant penis? No, I'm not. It's a wonderful monosyllabic term that is the most effective. How can you convey something in one syllable? I mean, consider any other example that you could come up with that could possibly compare to calling somebody a dick. And they know exactly
few,
what you're talking
but,
about.
You know.
But no, but yeah, cunt. Okay, a monosyllabic term. How many terms can you think of that convey a message of disdain, contempt? Lots of things.
If you call somebody a cunt, you can. Well, I guess either one.
That's
a
North American hang-up.
Maliciously.
Yeah.
But yeah, dick.
That's a North American hang-up.
I don't know how people feel about, if it's misogynist or whatever, but
I don't care.
To me, it can apply to anybody.
And in this today's
PC
culture.
It's a behavior
culture.
When you're acting like an asshole.
But that's the thing. Today's PC culture, you can't do it. Yeah, you can't do it in today's PC culture because PC culture says, oh, that's referring to gender-specific blah, blah, blah. Who gives a shit?
I don't care.
I'm tired of that. This, it's expressiveness that matters to me. These people are like, oh, it's gender-specific. Oh, you're being demeaning to the male gender. Fuck off. I mean, fuck off. I just wanted to slap these people like chi 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 and just say, look, you are stifling creativity. And I was giving this a thought this weekend because that's what bothers me the most is the stifling of creativity of language that this whole progressive culture has tried to squash. And I'm totally the freedom that one gets from completely shunning PC culture is amazing.
Well, yeah, and I mean, as we were talking about kind of thing, it in this particular instance, it's stifling creativity. It's stifling those people who want to share this and express it in a positive way. And okay, so I think two things that make a culture flourish are, you know, sharing languages and sharing art and culture and that kind of thing, right? Like the cultures that were the most, I guess, what do you want to say, open-minded were the ones where trade flourished among many cultures, right? So now we're in a scenario where people actually want to isolate their cultures and themselves culturally. And I mean, that I can't see that being a good outcome.
No,
right?
It's not. Of course not.
Yeah.
That's basically, you're talking about segregation, self-segregation.
Well, I'm talking about demarcating things like culture and saying you can't have this. Yes, it's segregation. It's not like physical segregation, but it's artistic segregation, I guess, right? Linguistic segregation.
Yep.
You know.
I don't know how you would have physical segregation anymore.
Well, when we talk about these universities that want to have segregated dorms and stuff like that, that's what I'm talking about when I say physical segregation.
I get you. But most of it is really a cultural segregation, and I don't see how you can do that. You just can't.
Yeah.
But that's a part of this cultural appropriation thing. That's what it is. Say, this is ours. You don't get to have that. And we're going to put that in law. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's insanity. I mean,
I kind of think these things have a bit of a way of being called out anyway. Right. So,
look at the
stuff about yoga. I mean, that's kind of over the top and that kind of thing. Right. But it got called out. Okay. And you know, I've held that opinion too. Like if you really look at what yoga is, it's a Hindu worshiping practice, and you know, it's more than just what we do here in North America and exercise and all that kind of stuff. Like I told you, one thing is like to swallow a cotton cloth pull it out.
Disgusting,
That's a yoga practice, right? So, you know, we appropriate obviously what, you know, we're willing to do here and, you know, make it North American, shall we say, but,
You make it something less than stupid. I mean, seriously.
Well, that must be a hell of a way to, you know, control your body. Right?
I don't have a problem.
Some of these yogis can do amazing feats physically, right?
Well, can they? Well, some can, but I mean, like you have to have a body that has no bones. But I mean, if you can, so what if you can swallow a cloth and pull it out Uranus? And
I don't think
that's a good thing. Like, I think that's something that we should eliminate when we culturally appropriate something.
But then there's yogis who can like almost fall into like this state where they're not, their organs aren't really registering kind of thing. They're still alive kind of thing, but they can put themselves into that kind of state.
Yeah, I'd like to see some actual evidence of
physical.
That,
well, sure. But you know, like, I think, you know, if you get super hardcore yoga, they do some pretty weird stuff, right? That you're not going to just learn how to do that in 48 hours kind of thing, right?
Well, okay, given.
And so back to the topic of, I forget what I was going to say now.
Cultural appropriation.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that's been certainly called out here. Like, look at these bloody sweat lodge things where people have actually died because they don't.
People have died, the secret.
Right? Yeah. Well, there's been, So, you know, these are not what our First Nations people are doing. These are dumbass people doing something that's actually dangerous, right? And obviously not, you know, remaining true to the proper tradition of things. And I can see where, you know, people would get upset when that kind of shit happens, when people appropriate their culture.
But there's also the reverse.
People die, you know?
There's the reverse of that when the traditional thing is actually really dangerous and it's cleansed of that by being appropriated into a reasonable form.
Yeah.
So
like almost a secularization of culture, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We like this about your culture, but we don't want to, you know, your food is great, but we're not going to, I don't know, take up your particular habit of cannibalization, right?
I mean. No kidding.
Your vegetable dishes are lovely, but yeah, we'll skip that.
KJ disease.
I'm being super extreme here.
Yeah, I don't want to end up with what's that disease?
Mad cow disease?
Yeah.
Kvasiliakov
disease. And it's like, there's another one. There's one in, Solomon Islands where they actually eat parts of the body of the deceased as kind of a remembrance. And the people that actually eat the brains end up with I can't remember the name of the disease. It's not KJ. It's something else. But the thing is, how do you?
It's essentially mad cow disease.
Yeah, it is. It's another prion disease.
Yeah.
But how do you legislate this? This is the thing. How do you legislate? I mean, even if we agreed that, you know, cultural appropriation is wrong, how would you legislate it? I mean, it makes no sense to me. There's no hard and fast definition of cultural appropriation.
Yeah, and how would you, you know, penalize it? And I don't know.
Financial.
Like, in terms of like copyright laws and stuff like that, we already have that. So that's not, you know, I don't know. It's crazy.
It's just daft. I mean, it's like microaggressions, your favorite topic. Somebody pointed out in a paper, C.H. Summers had a video out, and I actually backtracked to the original sources where somebody had said that, microaggressions, there's no definition of it that you can actually measure anything with that makes claims on the mental health of individuals who are aggressed, et cetera, et cetera. And it was a really good rebuttal. And the father of microaggressions, can't remember his name. His last name is Sue. Said that, that's just there's more than one way to describe to gain knowledge about the human condition. I'm like, no, there's not. There's science and then there's opinion. Get over it. That was the thing. It was amazing. It's like, you just admitted, that you can't actually study microaggressions. So how can you make claims about it? It's just a whole POMO thing, this whole postmodernist bullshit that opinion matters as much as objectively, rigorously obtained objective evidence. It's just like,
you can do the same sort of research and you know, frame your question on to get the other end of the results too, right? And there are more and less rigorous ways of going about this. Like, you know, I don't know how you'd formulate a question on microaggressions. Like, you want to know,
that's my point.
Do people believe they exist? It's just such a broad term. You'd have to frame it in a way that would be conducive to a self-reporting questionnaire or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Which, you know, as a methodological approach, has its own problems that we're all, you know, well, I'm sure maybe we're not all aware of them, but you can understand where self-reporting is an issue, low sample rate, all these kinds of things. Yeah. Yeah. Self-selection.
One of the ways.
You could get something about people's opinions on microaggressions from a study like that.
I have a problem with the definition of a microaggression, and this is something. It was Daryl Dwing Su. He's the father of microaggressions. He defines it as this: the brief and commonplace daily verbal, behavioral, and environmental indignities, whether intentional or unintentional, that communicate hostile, derogatory, or negative racial, gender, and sexual orientation and religious slights, and insults to the target person or group. That's a really nebulous definition, and I completely disagree with this definition. I think I would describe it as this. I would switch it. I would define it not in terms of the aggressor. I would define it in terms of the person who feels aggressed. And I would say that someone who is microaggressed is a member of a group identifiable from one or more immutable characteristics, in other words, race, etc., or by a person on behalf of such, in other words, a virtue signaler, that interpolates, whether real or imagined, an indignity to their identity made by an outgroup member. So, in other words, I don't buy the definition of microaggression from the point of view of the aggressor. I don't buy it at all.
And I would go even further and say it doesn't necessarily have to be from an out-group member. And I tried to think of, you know, a time that's when true. I was microaggressed, right?
That's a good point.
And, you know, not just the usual kind of,
It can be from the same group.
What's up?
It can be from the
here's
same
group.
Here's
my example.
Hey, go.
You're cutting in and out on me. And I'm sorry if I keep saying pardon, but our connection isn't, I don't think, great.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So when I was pregnant with my daughter, my grandma said to me, you know, basically, your breasts are pretty small. Are you going to be able to feed that?
Ow.
I know. And my grandma just said dumb shit like that all the time because she just didn't have the filter, right? Like, I mean, I
she was privileged with large breasts.
She was privileged with large breasts, and I got none of that.
Yeah. Woohoo!
Fortunately, I also
hey, baby.
Fortunately, I did get a filter. She was lacking the filter, but I mostly got the filter.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, she meant nothing, but I could have totally taken like, you know.
But that's my point.
Yeah, but you know, here's another white woman. Well, maybe she had, okay, she had large breast privilege.
Well, yeah, but that, but that's, you know, my whole point.
On the receiving end, I just
exactly
okay, you didn't mean anything by it. You just don't have a filter, you know.
That like, is
just
my not point. Thinking,
you and know, that's gracious my point. Interpretation, right?
My point is, yeah. Somebody gets upset because they took it some way, not because it was presented yeah. in a certain fashion. And well,
but sometimes it can be presented in a hostile kind of way. But,
it
but
can.
Then again, I don't think I'd put
that's
that in
not
the
a microaggression.
Category. That's an aggression.
That's yeah. an aggression. Absolutely right.
Yeah,
that's
and it
intentional.
Deserves a counter. It requires sure. a counter.
Yeah, and that's my yeah. point. Yeah. So, personally, I think it's actually always unintentional. Unless you know, you will know when it's intentional.
Yeah, yeah.
And you should, yeah. unless your radar is completely fucked up.
Yeah.
You'll know. But some people is just plain innocent, and you took it the wrong way. Well, you know what? Whose fault's that? Well, guess what? And that's my problem with everybody wants to be a victim. Well, you know what? Not everybody can be, and you shouldn't be. If you think you're a victim, yeah, stop it. Just yeah. stop it, because you're probably not.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of another time when I was outright aggressed, but I was just naive and oblivious to it, right? So I was in my 20s and, you know, like dressed like I was in my 20s. And I was exchanging something at, I think it was like the Royal Dalton shop, right?
A what?
Royal Dalton.
Oh, Royal Dalton, like
fancy,
as in the fancy China.
Something
yeah,
to do with
yeah,
the gift. No, I had bought something at a Royal Dalton and Market Mall, but they had no boxes. And, you know, so I needed a box for this thing, right?
Yeah.
And so I go in there and, right? Sorry?
I know the place, yeah.
Yeah. South Center, I went in there.
South Center? No, Market Mall. Market Mall.
I went, yeah, Royal Dalton Market Mall, but I went to South Center to get this box. Because I lived in that area at the time or whatever. Oh,
okay.
Right?
Gotcha.
So coming home from university, right? Market Mall by university.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. So I go into the store and I explain, you know, what I need. And she's, you know, helping other customers and that kind of thing. And then she said, can you stand over there? And told me to stand by the till. And I'm just like, wait a minute. Like at first I'm like, yeah, sure. No problem. And I'm just like, what the hell? Because, you know, you want to wander around, maybe look at some stuff. And here she had told me, you better stand. Like she was accusing me of theft, eh?
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, like at first
but
I'm
you're
like,
not
yeah,
black.
No, just wait for you.
You're not black.
I don't know what the fuck. But obviously, you know, maybe, like I said, I was dressed in probably ripped up jeans being, you know, blah, 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 20s. And yeah, looking, I mean, I looked younger when I was
younger.
And so I probably looked like a punk.
Wait, boy, that's
well, I probably
shock.
Looked like a punk ass kid, right?
Okay.
And, so, but I wasn't, I was, you know, late 20s, like, yeah, I wasn't impressed. And so I didn't say anything to the lady, but I wrote to the company and said, this is what happened. Cause you know, by the time I clued in what was going on, I was like, my feelings are really hurt. I must be like, oh, I'm going to cry. This lady thinks I'm a thief. But I wrote a letter to, and I got a very nice apology and a VIP membership, you know, that was a proper aggression.
Well, something happened relatively recently in Walmart, I think it was, and it was a person of color who was followed around by a security person, and that's definitely racial profiling, you know, like...
For sure.
Yeah. And
have you never been followed at a store?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't care. If somebody follows me, well, be bored. Good
yeah.
luck.
Well, sometimes they're pretty obvious about it too, though. Hey?
Are they? Oh, I've never experienced it.
Yeah. No, some people can be like,
but this person called the security person out and was like, yeah. Well, you know, it was just a bad incident. And this person was obviously prejudiced. Well, you know what? That's bad. Yeah. But don't make a narrative out of it that everybody who's a person of color is going to get followed when you go to Walmart. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
actually, when I was in my,
that's wrong.
In around my 20s again, I had, you know, friends that were security at, where the hell was it now? Kmart, something like, well, you know,
oh,
Kmart. It was something
yeah.
like Walmart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably Kmart. Yeah.
You know, they looked like punk ass kids, and that's exactly why they were hard
sure.
security people, right?
You know,
and one of the worst, was like little old ladies. You know, they were more subtle, obviously, than the jerks or whatever, right? But quite often, little old ladies were stealing shit. Hey,
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, it was like the most. I mean, it was gang. Often teenagers and stuff like that. But so it was a surprising amount of little old ladies, basically.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh well.
So that's who they followed around.
God damn it, you little old ladies.
Yeah, exactly.
There in the malls. It's like the gangs of grannies in Monty Python. You gotta watch out for them, or SUV drivers, although they're the worst.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing too, is like, you know, of course you feel for somebody if they're stealing because they have to, but you know, the little old ladies that had this particular demographic just did it for fun. It was just a thrill, you know.
They got nothing better to do, right? You know, you can play bridge or you can... I don't know.
Yeah, they're just more fun to steal, I guess.
I'm a bridge player, so can I say?
Cool.
All right. I think we're done for the evening. Sorry that you came in so late. Yeah, it's too bad. We had some good stuff on. You know, there's that whole, that big creation museum that opened up in Innisfail.
Oh, I know. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, I've talked to Jim Linville. Now, Jim Linville, we've had him on a long time ago. He's a friend of ours, and we're going to have him on again hopefully soon. I've talked to him today. Cool. He's gone all over North America visiting creation museums, and he's got a whole schlamazel about that, and we're going to talk to him about that. Plus, hopefully in August, he's going to go up there, and I'm going to go up with him. I've contacted him. He said, you know, it depends on whether or not he gets an interview. If he gets an interview, I probably won't be able to go. He wants to be very diplomatic about it, and that's fine. And next
the opening
week,
was on the 14th, wasn't it?
No, 16th.
Like, we should have been there. 16th? Okay.
Yeah.
Would have been fun Friday. To be there. Yeah.
Really? You think so? You want to play, you want to play laser tag, fight off the dinosaurs as they invade the city? Oh, my God.
I was suggesting that, you know, Innisfail, is it?
Yeah, Innisfail.
Okay, so where is that exactly? Is that kind of by Red Deer?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Edmonton, Calgary, and Red Deer, people should kind of just make a day of it and hang out, have some lunch, and have a few laughs.
You have the scones. You gotta have the scones. They were really big on their scones for some reason. I don't know.
Scones?
Yeah. Look on their website. Yeah. Dinosaur.ca. Dinosaur.ca. I think it's called. So they were big on that, and their mini golf, and their driving range, and laser tag.
Driving range sounds like fun.
So world class. I mean, obviously world class. You mean all the best museums in the world have laser tag? Holy shit. Yes. No, they don't.
But the driving range is like a real driving range.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get
cool.
it.
I could do that for...
I don't know.
Till I hit somebody.
That's a page. Apparently a major attraction for people that are creationists. Sorry, not my thing.
Well, I would eat a scone, I would check it out, and I would do the driving range thing. And
It
would just be fun to get together with some people from Red Deer and Edmonton and Calgary whoever else wants to join us, you know, Lethbridge, right? Make a day of it. It would be fun.
Yeah, fun.
And look, so I went to... I took my daughter, my neighbor, my friend's friend,
did you go up to the
and my daughter's friend too. Huh?
Did you go up to that creationist thing in the guy's garage?
Yeah.
You did? Oh, man.
Up in, where is it again?
Up by Carbon or something.
No. Big Valley.
Big Valley. Creationist Museum. Close to Carbon. Yeah. It's not far.
But you know what? It's a cute little town and very charming. So, you know, like you go check. And the poor kid who was running the thing, he didn't even take our money. Right. And I insisted, look, you know, usually I don't want to give my money to this stuff, but I just felt so sorry for the kid. I was like, no, we're going to pay. Right. And a bunch of siblings running around all over the yard and running all over the place. But they had, you know, like they had
world kind class,
of a museum. It's along the murder mystery train route thing, right? So they do have some really cute attractions and a nice little coffee place and some cute, like, you know, Alberta memorabilia type stuff. It was actually like a quaint little place to spend the afternoon. It was lovely, you know?
Lovely.
So, and Innisfail's got a few things outside of the, just, you know, make a day of it. Have fun.
What? What does Innisfail have? I keep driving through it, and I'm like, what has it got?
Well, I'm sure there's something.
I'm sure, yeah. Well, every place has something. They got a Wendy's or something? I don't know. Actually, probably Innisfil does have a Wendy's, but yeah. Okay, so and next week we're going to have somebody who is a men's rights activist, and we're going to talk about his, he's known as Highlighting Misandry on Twitter. I follow him. I got to admit, between feminists, third wave feminists and MRAs are by far the more honest. And we're going to talk with him about his journey to that. And after that, hopefully we'll have Jim Linville on. I've talked to him today. I know he's busy, and we will. Yeah. So next Saturday evening, 8 p.m. or so, Mountain Daylight Time. You don't even know about this. This is your first year.
No, and I'm busy on Saturday.
Ah, shit. Oh, well, yeah. I couldn't get him on a Sunday. I couldn't get him on a Sunday. So
I tried.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about a dinner thing. Okay, well, thank you. That was fun. I'm sorry I was late.
That's
Happy
okay.
Father's Day, everybody.
Yep.
Did you have a nice Father's Day?
Yeah, I guess it was just another day for me.
I'm stepfather. Not a father.
Yeah, I'm a stepfather, and I'm also a father of 9 cats, so there you go.
Yeah, so happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you very much.
You're the best.
All right, so I will close it out now. Have a good night.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night. Bye.
You've been listening to The Legion of Reason, coming to you from Calgary, Canada. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please consider reviewing us on iTunes. Music was provided by Dean Morrison and Graham Hill and used with permission.